It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Boston Celtics post-game show here on CLNS Radio. And my name is Matt Rury. Tonight I'm with the man that is basically become my co-host on this network, Nick Sesento. How's it going, Nick?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Well, Celtics win down in Miami right tonight, 112-104. Long, drawn-out finish to this game. The Celtics looked like they were going to run away with it, and Miami clawed back in and made it kind of a close game towards the end, literally with their claws. Flagrant fouls left and right, technical fouls. Marcus Smart scrumming it up with everybody in the universe there on the Heat. And we'll get into all that as we go along here. Of course, I want to remind you, CLNS Radio is the leading online provider for audio video coverage for the Boston Celtics. And you can find the postgame show on your radio dial at ESPN New Hampshire Radio as well, 912.50 AM up in the Granite State. And they're also streaming live on ESPNNHradio.com. So, This game, Nick, looked like it was going to be a blowout, like I said, and the Heat found a way to make it interesting towards the end of the game there, mainly by trying to get inside Marcus Smart's head and pulling out the hack of Marcus.
Yeah, the hack of Marcus, and unfortunately I was stuck with the, living down here in Florida, I was stuck with the NBA TV broadcast, which was basically the Miami Heat broadcast. And they mentioned one of their terrible broadcasters. I don't even know their names because they're not worth remembering or even knowing. But said something to the effect of, "Well, if you want to stop the hack of Marcus or the hack of insert player, you have to hit those free throws." And Marcus Smart just missing a couple of free throws here and there. You know, splitting those free throws when he was getting the calls. I think he went 5 for 9 from the line. So a little over 50%.
That's what he shoots for the year, and this is something I don't really understand about him, because the second free throw on each one of those was so smooth, Nick. Why can't he just focus on the first free throw and make them both?
I don't know. I think that it maybe that takes that first free throw for him to calm down, because it seemed like, you know, he's somewhat of a hot-headed player, and that's, you know, a good thing sometimes, it's a bad thing sometimes, and maybe that first free throw is just, you know, his way of getting it out of his system. I mean, at some point you'd like him to mature enough to be able to get it out of his system before he takes the free throw, so that he can put the game away instead of having it long drawn out and giving Mr. Wooden Teeth, Eric Spoelstra, his opportunity to keep, you know, calling fouls the hacker Smart. But, you know, it is what it is. 112-104, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if the Celtics were on the other end of this and they were scrapping and trying to get back into this game, then I think that we would probably be feeling a little bit different about the way things go or the way things went, and we would be not necessarily praising them, because I hate the hack a player strategy in the first place, but we may be looking at this a little bit differently if the Celtics were on the other side of it. So that's all there is to that. As usual, our opening segment is powered by Blue Apron. And their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. And I am one of those people in the community of home chefs. And with Thanksgiving this past week, there was a lot of food going around, and Blue Apron had some good dishes. And then coming up this week, they've got a balsamic glazed onion cheeseburger, which looks delicious. That I can't wait to try. So I'm looking forward to that. And you can look forward to that too if you head on over to blueapron.com/CLNS to get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping. And with other holidays coming up right around the corner, what better way to celebrate with your family than to cook some meals with Blue Apron? And you can get the first 3 meals for free, like I said, with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals at Blue Apron. So I'm telling you, go check it out. It tastes delicious. They give you the proportions that you need in the box right at your doorstep. It's all refrigerated with an ice pack in there. You throw it in your fridge after that if you can't make it that night. And it really does taste good. So blueapron.com/CLNS. It's Blue Apron, and it's a better way to cook. All right, Nick. I don't want to make this first segment about Marcus Smart, because that's kind of how we just let off in the first minute or two of the show. I'd prefer to focus on someone that I think had a really good game and looks like he's back to 100% or close to it and rounding into shape is Jay Crowder. And he's a guy that we've talked about in the past, you and I, as kind of an important player. And I feel like I waver on him, and I don't give him the credit that he deserves. And last week we were heaping a bunch of praise on Al Horford because the team looked so good defensively, and they looked like they were a cohesive unit again. But Horford didn't play tonight, and for the majority of this game, you still saw that cohesive defensive Celtics unit and a good team on offense as well. And I think Jay Crowder was a big part of that tonight.
Absolutely, and I think we've seen him break his minute restrictions. I think after the last game, there was an article that was published where he discussed his frustration with the minutes restriction. I believe we talked about, you know, his shortness of minutes on previous shows, and that really wasn't his call. I think it was Ed Lesurtz, the head trainer's call, and, you know, Crowder discussed how he was frustrated with that, and how he, you know, really wanted to get in the game, how he stayed out in the game against San Antonio despite the fact that he was still experiencing swelling in his ankle. I'm not sure that he's 100% back, but his performance certainly reflects what looks like a 100% Jay Crowder, 17 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and of course the almighty 2 steals, the steals that he's known for. If we remember at the beginning of last season, he started out averaging something like 4 steals a game for the first several game. So definitely he is, I think, what many Celtics fans would consider the heart and soul of this team. And although Al Horford is absolutely a critical part of it, I believe that we now just finally went to 500 without Al Horford on the floor. I think we're now 5-5 without Al Horford and 5-1 with him, or something like that, or 4-1, 4-2, something like that. So Jay Crowder definitely brings that intensity, brings that, you know, that that grit and balls, as KG would say, on both ends of the court, both defensively and offensively, and fills up the stat sheet, you know, in every way: passing, rebounding, scoring, hitting his three, shot 50% from three tonight, 2-for-4, went 6-of-11 from field goals. That's better than 50%. So, I mean, got to give Jay Crowder his credit. If there are, you know, obviously Al Horford is critical. Jay Crowder, I think, just as critical. And it goes without saying, Isaiah Thomas and Avery Bradley, those are, I think, the four core players. As much as we may love some of the other guys on the court, those are the four guys that I think we need to have healthy for the majority of the season, and especially going into the playoff stretch, for this team to expect to go anywhere. And that's our core. That's our main group right there.
Yeah, and say what you want about the opponent tonight. Of course, the Heat were kind of depleted themselves. They didn't have Justice Winslow or Dion Waiters. Say what you will about those players. I mean, they're not world beaters. So I feel like the Celtics would have had a pretty good outcome had those guys played anyway. And the only reason it was close was, like we said, this game got real chippy, and it slowed down quite a bit, which favored the Heat a little bit, but the Celtics were able to keep their composure and hang on for the victory down in Miami. Crowder did look good tonight. I mean, he took good shots. His field goal percentage was high, which you just mentioned, but that's something that dips for him when he's not feeling like he can get the proper support from his feet and get good lift on his jump shot, because he doesn't jump very high in the first place. So if he's hampered by that, I feel like his percentages go down. I don't have any scientific proof or numbers to back that up, but that's just what my eyes tell me. So he looked better tonight. He looked like he was a smooth player, and he played over 30 minutes, which is something we haven't seen from him in quite a few weeks. So good to see Jay Crowder back in the lineup and presumably at full strength. And another thing that you saw tonight was the black hole that is Jaylen Brown. Again, another basically no-show from him as Jay Crowder's backup. So that is also, to me, an indicator that Crowder's feeling healthy, because in the game the past couple of weeks, Brown has seen a lot more time. And now that Crowder must be feeling good, there's no reason to really get him in the mix night in, night out.
Yeah, speaking of Jaylen Brown, since you brought him up, I was thinking about that as well. Disappointing, to say the least, his performance, and, you know, 0 points in 9 minutes. He was the only player to see court time that didn't score a point, and the only player to see court time that didn't play in double-digit minutes, only played 9 minutes. So I think at this point, Jaylen Brown just isn't fitting into this rotation. I know that we seem to need him on the court, but I think if he doesn't have the confidence, he's not even scoring. He's not contributing anything really to the box score. One rebound and one assist, 0 for 2 from the field, and no free throws, didn't draw any fouls. I think maybe some time in Maine might be good for him. But then again, you send Jay Brown to Maine, and we're looking at Gerald Green or James Young filling the spot in the rotation. Although I do seem to think that Jonas Jerebko might be the answer there, you know, at the three. He might get beat by some of the more athletic threes in the NBA right now, but he certainly puts up better stats than any of the aforementioned players, including Jay Brown. So I don't know.
Jerebko seems to be fitting into the system anyway. He goes where he's told to go within the play. He goes when he does what he needs to do, and he takes decent shots. So I don't mind having Jerebko out there early on in games, even late in games, because he's shown that he can knock down some shots in the past. But you know what, Nick? Every year I look for something that I need to harp on, you know, that I need to complain about night in, night out, and I haven't really been able to find something that really sticks with me as my little stupid thing that I complain about on these shows that I can go to every show. So I think I found it, though. And it's something I mentioned a couple weeks ago, but I haven't really been able to follow up on it. It's Gerald Green, okay? Gerald Green was brought in here, supposedly, by Danny Ainge to be a scoring punch off the bench, a veteran leader in the locker room, and a guy that could help the Celtics win games. All I see Gerald Green doing is getting a different hairdo in every city he goes to and sitting on the bench and having a good time. The coach won't put him in the games. There's got to be something going on behind the scenes. Like, this guy doesn't have the effort or something. I don't know what the conspiracy theory is that I'm going to come up with, but this is going to be the thing that I complain about, because he was billed as a guy that was going to actually contribute, and he's literally doing nothing.
Yeah, I think maybe that's something for the investigative journalists on the CLNS staff to start looking into. My theory is that, you know, there is just some kind of bias against guys with nine fingers. No, I think it's more his lack of defensive effort. I think he's pretty much a black hole, or maybe a black hole is the wrong answer, because that seems to imply that things get sucked in and disappear. Maybe he's the opposite of a black hole when it comes to defense, and that he just, you know, lets players blow by. And even James Young seems to be slightly better on the defensive end.
Oh, definitely.
And this is a team that prides itself on his defensive identity, his defensive intensity. And it's hard to go from Jay Crowder, who is arguably one of our best defensive players, at least our best, you know, defensive wing player, and then go from that to Gerald Green if you're not going to have Jaylen Brown or any of those other guys playing. It's a massive jump, and he becomes that liability defensively that you just don't want to see when you want to see a team grind out wins like the Celtics have been known to do in the Brad Stevens era. So I think that's probably the big conspiracy.
I'm with you on that. But the thing is that we knew this as fans, and you better have hoped that Danny Ainge knew that as a GM, and that the scouts on the Celtics and the basketball analysts on the Celtics in the Celtics organization knew that about Gerald Green going in. This is a situation where I look back at the things that were said about a guy like that being signed, and it's more and more obvious to me that they were just trying to fill their salary cap or fill their roster and pay some money out and maybe reach the floor or something and give themselves some flexibility to trade off other guys if necessary. I feel like that was more of a business move than a basketball move, and that is not what Danny Ainge said it was for. So unless Gerald Green breaks out in the next few months and goes on a scoring tear, I'm going to be calling Danny Ainge out weekly on this show. How about that?
And I'll love to hear it, although I don't think what Danny Ainge necessarily says is always going to be the truth in terms of why he signs players. Danny Ainge always seems to have a bigger picture. I'm not a Danny Ainge apologist by any stretch. I'm down for criticizing Danny Ainge when he, you know, makes moves that I disagree with. But there may be something to the fact that, you know, he played with Isaiah Thomas in Phoenix. Maybe they expected there to be a little bit more chemistry there than there has been. I mean, he's had decent stretches offensively when he does get in the game, but not really worth, you know, the signing, although it's only veterans minimum. I tend to think that given that that roster battle at the end of, you know, the training camp between James Young and IJ Hunter, that there was the intention of trading the one who stayed, whoever it was that made the roster. I think that we made the pick of Danny Ainge decided to keep James Young with the intention that he could probably try to slide a second-round pick or another pick out of James Young or maybe throw him into some other type of trade. And Gerald Green was the safety blanket, because you have to have at least somebody on the roster that's going to play that wing position. But Gerald Green just can't seem to get on the court, so and neither can James Young, so I don't really understand, you know, the mentality there.
But so the different, if you want to talk about those two players, you can say the same thing, but Danny Ainge seems to be more honest about James Young when discussing him. I haven't heard Ainge talk about Gerald Green since he signed him, but that's because there's really not much to talk about now, is there? As far as Young is concerned, Ainge has been very critical of him in the past, and just, I mean, in a positive way, of course, saying that he needs to get stronger on defense and he needs to get his shot better. But he seemed to have praise for Gerald Green when he hadn't earned it yet. So I just, seeing him on the roster still, it kind of makes me shake my head and wonder why. So going forward, I won't spend that much more time on it, but that's going to be the thing that I think just sticks in my side for the rest of the season. We are going to take a quick break, but after that, we're going to open up the Movement Watch's toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771, and we will be talking with you all, the fans out there, the Celtics fans listening. Hit us up, and we'll go right to you after this break.
Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's always important to know where your food comes from. I'd like to take a moment and tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Folks, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you only the best in variety, flexibility, and ease of use. The recipe cards are incredible. This month, I made pan-seared chicken and roasted fall vegetables with butter caper sauce, spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir-fry with sweet potato noodles, lemongrass roasted pork with Romanesco cauliflower and coconut rice. These entrees may sound complicated, but with Blue Apron's recipe cards, they are easy and fun and get the whole family involved. We'd love for you to try Blue Apron. Support the Celtics postgame show and the entire CLNS radio network. And guess what? It's not going to cost you anything. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how it feels. You will love how it tastes. You will love creating incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Again, no risk involved. Three free meals, free shipping. That's blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics is now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches. They start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, let's do it.
We are back here on the CLNS Radio Celtics postgame show. And it's time, Nick Gelso just told you about them at the end of that break. It's time to open the Movement Watches toll-free call lines at 347-215-7771. Again, if you want to give us a call out there, talk Celtics with us. 347-215-7771. And the phone lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. And as Nick just said, while department store watches start at really high prices, $400 to $500, the people over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out and they pass that savings directly to you. So if you're looking for a slick, fashionable, and most importantly, affordable watch, you can get it starting just at $95. That's pretty sweet. Go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat for 15% off your first order with free shipping. Again, that's mvmtwatches.com/Celticsbeat. 15% off, free shipping. It's just in time for the holidays. Perfect timing. On the Movement Watches toll-free call lines, our first caller of the night wants to discuss the man who just had a new baby. Congratulations to Al Horford out there, by the way. That's why he missed the game. He wants to discuss Al Horford. It's Miley out in Ohio. What's going on, Miley?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Great, great. What do you have to say about Al Horford?
Well, it kind of sucked not having him tonight, and it sucks that, like, when we miss him, that it's harder to win games. And I'm also happy with Celtics' performance tonight without Al Horford. I think they played really well. What do you guys think?
Excellent.
Yeah,
I think it's fantastic.
Go ahead, Nick.
Rory, you beat me to the punch. No, I was just going to – actually, as a matter of fact, I was just going to quote you, Rory, and say that I think that Jay Crowder getting back to full strength was really a key to the Celtics playing above their competition, as they've been noted for kind of playing down to their competition frequently. The Heat are this season. The Heat are a team that's struggling for their identity. They're also a team that was a little bit shorthanded without their one of their better wing players in Justice Winslow. But Jay Crowder being healthy, I think, is much a bit a difference maker as Al Horford being healthy. So when you have both of them, the team is extremely good. When you have, you know, at least one of them, the team can still pretty much beat most of the teams on the schedule, especially a team like the Miami Heat, who are now 5-12 on the season. We're 5-11 coming into this game. So Jay Crowder was the key, as far as I'm concerned, as Rory noted earlier.
All right, Miley, anything else you want to throw out there about Horford? Because he will be likely back for the next game. Usually guys only take a few days if they have a child, and I assume Horford will do the same. But anything else you want to throw at us before we let you go?
Yeah, I think having Al Horford gives us the rim protection that we need. And he's a really good rebounder, and he can shoot the threes. And that he's just a good defender overall, I think. But not better than Smart on defense.
All right. Thank you, sir, for calling in. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next time on the Movement Toll-Free Watch. The Movement Watch's toll-free call lines. There goes Miley out in Ohio. Big Al Horford fan there, Nick. And like he said, too bad Horford couldn't play tonight, but it's for good reasons. And I'm sure that he'll be back with the Celtics when they return. Nope, sorry, they're going to Detroit on Wednesday. No, they do return home on Wednesday against Detroit. My mistake. So I would assume that he's going to be back here. I assume he's here now. It'll hopefully be a good game against Detroit, because the last time the Celtics played Detroit, I think someone, I don't know if it was you or someone else, but they were convinced that Reggie Jackson would have made the difference in that game, and that the Celtics would have lost had Reggie Jackson played. So I don't think Jackson's going to be back on Wednesday, but I don't think it was you either. I think it was one of our callers that said something like that, and I thought that he was losing his mind.
Yes, it was one of the callers. It was definitely not me, although I do appreciate Reggie Jackson's talent and skills. It was definitely not me that made that comment. But I do believe that Al Horford will make a big difference, because Al Horford gives us a presence, at least. I tend to disagree slightly with our caller Miley in that I don't think Al Horford is the best rebounder, but he has provided, surprisingly, that rim protection that I didn't exactly know that he had when he played in Atlanta. I think he typically averaged somewhere about a block or a block and a half throughout his career. And this season he's averaging somewhere close to 3 blocks a game. So he's provided that rim protection that this team desperately needs, and having him for that game could be the difference. I don't know if Reggie Jackson coming back will make the difference for the Pistons coming into the Garden, but having Al Horford, if he does play, I'm not sure. I think I read somewhere that somebody mentioned that he may not be out, that somebody was questioning why he needed all these multiple days after having a child. But listen, you know, you have a child, that's an important thing, not something you miss. Al Horford has a beautiful wife. You don't, you know, you want to
stay
home.
Yeah, I mean, even if the baby was born like early this morning, they're already down in Miami. I mean, they probably just said, you know what, take the day and we'll see you on Wednesday. I almost guarantee if there was a prop bet on whether Horford would play on Wednesday night, I would bet $1,000 that he would play. Because I just don't – he's in town now. They're back in town. So anybody that's complaining about him missing one game for this, guys do it all the time. I lost a fantasy basketball championship series because Paul Pierce missed a game for the birth of his daughter 5 or 6 years ago. I wasn't complaining about it then, but I guess it still stuck with me.
You're complaining about it now, though.
No, I was complaining about it then, too. But you know what? That was because I had a petty reason for it. In general, I was happy for Paul Pierce, and it didn't really matter that he missed an April game in the Celtics season when they weren't even going to be in the playoffs that year. I don't think, if I recall correctly. So I mean, more power to him. But the point is that guys do this all the time. That's what they do. They take a day off. In the workplace, you get paternity leave often in corporate America now. So I feel like anybody that would complain about that or look down upon Horford for missing tonight's game for that reason is pretty short-sighted. Either way, my rant is over.
Well, it's an enlightened world now. I mean, it could be the WNBA where players take several months off for pregnancies and births and whatnot. So let's be thankful at the very least that, you know, Al Horford won't be missing extended period. Even if he doesn't show up on Wednesday, even if he does take that extra time, you know, to bask in the glow of his newborn child and spend time with his family, you know, we should, with the healthy Jay Crowder and the rest of our rotation healthy or appearing to be healthy, we should be able to handle the Pistons. I know they're an upstart team and they have a little bit of talent, but we should be able to handle them either way. But I would agree with you that I would expect Al Horford to be there, but I'm not going to be mad at the guy even if he's not there on Wednesday. You know, you take a couple of games,
so,
you know.
Yeah.
It is what it
is. You do what you have to do. But
definitely,
as far as the blocks are concerned and the rim protection, Miley got us going on an Al Horford tangent here, so let's keep it rolling. The rim protection, people were saying that he was going to be a rim protector coming in, and I mean, you're right, but at the same time, he did average pretty much a block and a half over his career with Atlanta, more like 1.2, I guess, but a couple times a block, it was a block and a half, and his rookie year was less than a block. So his rim protection has always kind of been there. I think it's the rebounding that people thought that he was going to bring to the team that he hasn't really provided for the Celtics,
no,
the type of rebounding that he has in the past. But it's similar to what he was doing in Atlanta for the past two seasons. So maybe he just kind of changed his game when he turned 28. Maybe he lost a step on the boards or something and he started shifting his game outside, and that's why his rebounding kind of dipped at that point. But the rim protection has always been there. Defensively, he is definitely getting more blocks this year, but he's only played 7 games. So we'll see if that evens out, if that number comes back down closer to his career average. But he does get some block shots throughout the season, Nick.
Definitely. And I personally didn't expect him to be that big of a rebounder. I had watched his stats in Atlanta, gone back, and you know, the Celtics have a history with the Hawks anyway. We seem to play them in the playoffs frequently. We've seen them just being down here in the South. I've gotten to, you know, watch a few Hawks games. I think TNT and TBS are one, which TNT is the one that plays the NBA games. I think they're centered in Atlanta, at least they used to be, so they frequently show Hawks games. And I've seen Al Horford's rebounding kind of take a dip. And my theory has been, and if I have to say pectoral tear one more time on this show, is that since that pectoral tear, you know, 3 or 4 seasons ago, his game both on the glass and offensively has kind of waned. And at least in terms of the glass, his production has dipped, and then his offensive game has kind of moved further away from the basket and not, you know, been as much of a banger down low. Whether it's actually the pectoral tear, whether it's just age, whether he's trying to preserve himself, I don't know. But what he's doing for the Celtics right now is absolutely good enough. And as advertised, or what is the Celtics fans could have expected, I think, maybe not more than what we could have expected, but at least as good as what we could have expected coming from Al Horford, especially with that rim protection. His blocks have just really skyrocketed. That was something that Celtics fans really wanted to see, was a rim protector. And I think that some of us kind of questioned if Al Horford might give us that. And the fact that he's giving us close to 3 blocks a game is, you know, it makes up for the lack of rebounding. I don't know what he's averaging, something like 5 rebounds a game. But, you know, 5 rebounds and, you know, close to 3 blocks, that's good enough. And you have other players that can rebound. We didn't get killed tonight on the glass. I think it was we got out-rebounded by one board, 41-40. So even without Al Horford, and that probably would have been different, even with one of the elite centers, and one of the close to elite centers, a max player in Hassan Whiteside, basically inhaling everything. He's one of those guys sort of like Drummond that just grabs everything. We didn't get killed that bad on the glass. So Al Horford, you know, he just adds to what we already have, and I think when you put this team together as a unit, healthy, I think that we can, you know, hold our own on the glass. We're not going to be the best rebounding team, but like I said, when everybody is there, we get it done.
Yeah, and you mentioned his injury, and his numbers have kind of taken a little bit of a dive on the glass since then. But at the same time, and maybe you can attribute this to the Hawks being such a good team, but he was an all-star the last two seasons. So he's still performing after that injury at the top of the NBA. And, I mean, say what you will about all-star status. Some people don't believe that they should have – or that certain players should be on the team, and then it doesn't say that you're one of the top players in the league because it's split by conference and blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is that if you are on an all-star team any given year, you are within the top 30 to 35 players in the league indisputably, regardless of whether some of those players made the team or not. You're in that group. So Horford's come back from an injury strong, and I think he's doing it again for the Celtics, and I just hope that he can continue to stay healthy throughout the season, because that concussion thing kind of spooked me a little bit. So maybe that's why some people are wondering where he was tonight. But it was definitely for good reasons. He's not injured. Don't you guys worry about that out there. And I would expect to see him on Wednesday against the Pistons. So why don't we do our second break of the night? It already crept up on me. I didn't realize we were already getting this close. We started a little late, but that's the breaks, right? Quite literally, no pun intended. When we come back, Nick will tell us his favorite thing about the Celtics this year. How about that, Nick? Give you a few minutes to think.
My favorite thing about the Celtics the whole year. All right, I have to go through my cheat sheet, look up my notes and see what I like the best about the whole team.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Here we go.
Yeah, appreciate that.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
This is Jared Weiss of the Garden Report Live postgame show, and let's talk about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But now, with our promo code GARDEN, their $800 custom suits will cost you just $389. That is over 50% off a made-to-measure suit. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an incredible experience. They are filled to the cuff with fabric selections, with pretty much any pattern and color combination that you can think of for a suit. You pick your lining, you pick your lapel, your monogram, and more. They even have custom shirts, too, so you can get the exact collar that you want. I'm getting a shirt with a cutaway collar, which is something that I have a lot of trouble finding, so I'm excited about that. The measurement process is actually pretty fun. Your style guide just makes it an easy experience. You show up to the store, you kick back, relax, and you just get ready to step into a perfectly fitting suit in just 4 weeks. So go to Indochino.com to book your appointment at their Boston showroom, and you can get any premium suit for just $389 when you mention the code GARDEN. You're just not going to beat that deal anywhere. You cannot get a made-to-measure suit of quality construction and fabric even near that price anywhere. And to have it this accessible and easy and fun, you just can't beat it.
Yeah, all right. We're back here on the Celtics post-game show. My name is Matt Rurie, and the Celtics have won 112-104 down in Miami. They gave the fans a show, such a show down there in Miami, that they stayed the whole game, and they were rowdy, and they were raucous, and there were no empty seats in the entire place. And everything
that
I just said for the last 10 seconds was a complete lie, because there was nobody there. My roommate is, I'm watching the game with my roommate, and they bring it back from halftime, and he says, "Is that because it's halftime or because it's Miami?" And I was like, probably a little of both.
No, it's
and
because
of course, South Beach Special, they are just taking off. They get there with 8 minutes to go in the second quarter, and they leave with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. Goodbye. There they go. The fans down in Miami. Just wonderful people down in Miami. No offense. I know you're not in Miami, but no offense to you as a Floridian.
No, we don't take offense. The rest of Florida doesn't take offense to what you say about Miami, because we're very much different than Miami. I live in Tampa. Tampa's a different kind of sports town. I mean, we do have our bandwagoners. I mean, there are still some people that were around when, you know, before the Bucks, I guess a lot of people that were around before the Bucks Buccaneers came around in the NFL, that are still diehard Dolphins fans. There are still, I guess, some Magic fans here, since Tampa and Orlando are very close, you know, less than an hour drive from Tampa to Orlando. But a lot of basketball fans, since we don't have our own basketball team here, kind of switched over to Orlando, or because we have so many transplants from New York, from Massachusetts, from Ohio, Illinois, that just stick with their original home team. So we have a lot of Bulls fans, we have a lot of Knicks fans, or Nets fans. I don't really know. Are there any Nets fans? I'm not even sure about that. But
no, I don't think so.
No, but obviously a lot of Celtics fans as well.
Yes, and if you are a Celtics fan, you're definitely listening to the right place, because we're here at CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio video coverage for the Boston Celtics. And this is the post-game show, and the Celtics have won, like I said, 112-104 down in Miami. You can find us streaming on clnsradio.com and on ESPN New Hampshire at 900 and 1250 a.m. up in New Hampshire, or on ESPN NH Radio. .com. This game, just the Celtics let the Heat stick around, and Isaiah Thomas he scored 25 points, but it was because of a volume of shots and nine free throws that he took, with a few trips to the free throw line. He had impacts in other ways, but he took a lot of bad threes again tonight. My question to you, Nick, is, before we get into not your favorite thing, I teased that your favorite thing, we're going to get into your least favorite thing and let you go on a little rant. But my question to you is, if the Celtics encounter a team that's better than Miami, are they really going to be able to sort of let a team like that hang around and think that they can get away with Isaiah Thomas going 7 for 23 and 2 for 10 from three, even though that equates to 25 points, that's not an efficient 25 points. And I feel like if they were playing almost anybody else in the East, that team would have come back and beat them tonight. And Al Horford back or not, regardless of that, I feel like the Celtics are still a little too young, and for some reason they're having a lot of trouble closing games this year.
Well, maybe not anybody else in the East. I mean, there's still the Nets and the Sixers and other teams that are just absolute trash.
Anybody better than Miami, I should say.
Absolutely, definitely. And Miami did have some advantages. Again, Miami had strengths where we had weaknesses. They had Hassan Whiteside, who went off for 25 points and 17 rebounds, which is insane, those numbers. I really wish we had a player like that. But, and of course we had Al Horford out. So, you know, they had strengths where we had weaknesses. Definitely any team that was better than Miami, it could have, you know, turned out with a different result. Don't really like the 7-for-23 shooting from Isaiah Thomas. I mean, that's less than 33%. That's somewhere like hovering around, you know, under 30% shooting. And his 2-for-10 3-points. Fortunately, the rest of the team went, you know, 9 of 27. They hit the 11-for-27 total as a team. That includes Thomas's 2 3-pointers. And that's close to 41% three. So when you shoot 41% from three as a team, they picked up for him. 41% from three as a team is pretty good in today's NBA. Of course, there are teams that shoot better than that because the NBA is just a 3-point shooting league now. But it really helps when the Miami Heat shoot 20% from three. So anytime you're able to basically double the 3-point production of the opposing team, you're in good shape. And you know, the Heat didn't hit their free throws, and Isaiah Thomas, that's one thing that he did do well, was hit all of his free throws, unlike Marcus Smart, who didn't.
I just wish that he would focus on the first one instead of seeing what happens on the first one and then focusing on the second one, because his second free throw always looks perfect and it goes in. I just don't understand. He lets his head get too wrapped up in himself and his emotions get to him a little bit too often, I think. So maybe he can adjust that as he goes along. But the Heat are an interesting team because, I mean, they're basically a two-man game out there, right? Sure, Josh Richardson knocked down a couple of big shots, and Wayne Ellington was knocking down a shot or two. But really, they're Dragic and Whiteside. 25-17 for Whiteside, 27-17 for Dragic. Nobody else had more than two assists on the team, and he basically carries that team. They are a traditional point guard run offense, and everything runs through him. Whereas when you're looking at the Celtics, you've got a multitude of guys with 3, 4 assists, and then of course Isaiah Thomas with 8. So it's really more of a team effort as far as the Celtics are concerned, and Miami is throwing the two-man game at you with the pick and rolls and the two big players and hoping to win that way, which is probably why they're not very good this year. But I digress. Nick, we will.
Yep.
I'm going to give you as long as you want to rant on this, because I only have a few things to say, so I'll let you just take it from here. What is your least favorite thing about the Boston Celtics this year? What really is making you angry?
Yeah, before break, we threw to my favorite things about this team, and there are quite a few. There's quite a few things I love about this team, but I'm a cynical guy. I like to be critical. I think it's more fun to analyze what can be improved about the team. And one of those things, and there's two that I'd like to focus on, but the first one and the most glaring one has been occurring seemingly on a nightly basis for this team is Amir Johnson's complete vanishing act. I don't know where he's been. We never expected him to be a big-time scorer for this team, but 4 points and 3 rebounds, when you're making $12 million a year, that just doesn't cut it. I don't know why we decided to pick up the second year on his option other than to fill up space. Maybe, you know, I have no other fill up salary cap space. I just really have no other explanation. I don't think that he was even picked up as trade filler because he only has that one extra year on his contract. I don't know what it is. I think there were other players who could have pursued with that money plus some of the other money that we use, like, for example, the the $1.5 million or $2 million we spent on Gerald Green, the $8 million that we extended to Tyler Zeller, who actually had a decent game tonight. But Amir Johnson just does not show up in 90% of the games. He had that one explosive game. I forgot who the team it was that we were playing against, where he really lit things up. He hit his three-pointers. He was really feeling himself. But on a nightly basis, it seems like I come on this show, whether I'm hosting with you, Matt Rury, or I'm calling in, and it seems like I have to bring up Amir Johnson. He was the only player in the starting lineup that didn't score double-digit points. He was the only player in the starting lineup in negative plus-minus. And when you look at the other players on the roster, the other big men on the roster, every time I bring up Amir Johnson, the question is, well, who's going to take his spot in the starting lineup? You know, who do you put Zeller in there? Do you put Kelly Olynyk? And at this point, I'm willing to say, hell yeah, let's try one of them out at the starting lineup, because Zeller had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. Kelly Olynyk,
that game was against Chicago. It was game 4, just for
reference. Game 4 against Chicago. And that, I guess he had fresh legs or something like that. Now the old man legs are kicking in and he's just not getting it done. But if you look at the other big men on the roster, and Zeller filled in for Horford tonight in a respectable fashion. He went 4-for-7 from the field. He hit both of his free throws. And on top of that, he put something in every category in the box score except for steals. He had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. In comparison to Amir Johnson's 4 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist. And then you go down the line and you see Kelly Olynyk, who I believe we discussed before, the inconsistencies of some of our role players, the fact that they're inconsistent. But Kelly Olynyk had a very good night tonight with 14 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. So, and he actually, I think, had a couple of blocks as well tonight, Kelly Olynyk as well. So while Kelly Olynyk doesn't exactly have the intimidation factor that maybe Amir Johnson has, I don't know. I don't see a reason why one of these two players shouldn't be filling in for Amir Johnson.
So I guess it's just a matter of how long Stevens waits. Because in my mind, before the season started, Kelly Olynyk was the next guy that when he got healthy, he was going to be the starter with Horford. That's if you just want to look at the top 5 players and in a position, that's the way it would have gone for me with those guys. Now, whether you want to say that you want to have a strong 6th man and you bring Olynyk off the bench instead, that's a fine argument to have, and that's fine. But if you want to look at the top 5 players on this team, Olynyk is the guy that would have jumped into the starting lineup. So that tells me one of two things. Either he's still not 100% and he's still working back into shape, or Stevens just isn't ready to shake it up, and for whatever reason he feels loyal to Amir Johnson. But I think sooner rather than later he's going to have to do something, because Amir, I don't know, unless it's one of these things where you hear about these guys that have old NBA legs and they are better off at the beginning of the game, so they start and then you sit them down and they can't get going again, so they don't play again. So maybe that's what Amir is, and he's going to give us the Celtics 15 minutes and 4 points and 3 rebounds every game now. Who knows?
But does he really need to have those fresh legs at the very beginning of the game? Maybe those fresh legs would be put to better use playing against second-string players of the opposing teams, where he might be able to score a little bit better, out-hustle or out-grind somebody for those rebounds, as opposed to playing against other teams, starting centers, like, for example, Hassan Whiteside, who just, blew him and everybody else off the board. There's a flip side to every
I think it's more a matter, he has a history of plantar fasciitis, and that's something that I read about a lot when Kendrick Perkins was here, because he had it, and it affected him quite a bit. And I think it affects guys throughout the league. And part of the thing with that is that you get treatment for that right before the game, so you're feeling good. And then by the time you roll 6-7 minutes into the game, if you got to start it up again, and you're not the starter, after your warm up, then it starts to be a little bit more painful. So then, you can get more treatment at halftime, I suppose, but. That's supposed to be a really painful injury, right? Underneath, like it feels like knives sticking into the middle of your foot when you're walking, supposedly. I've never had it, but that's what I've seen by all accounts. So if that's what he's still battling and they're just not telling us about it, then Maybe that has something to do with it. That's all speculation on my part, though.
Absolutely, and I think we just, at this point, just have to trust Brad Stevens. It seems to be working at this point. The Celtics are on a pretty decent roll. Now we've only lost a few games since Al Horford coming back from concussion, so got to trust Al Horford with that. Also, the one other thing that I would like to discuss that seems to be a recurring theme here is Marcus Smart's shot selection. I know that there's so many fans out there, including many of the co-hosts here on CLNS, that really love Marcus Smart, and that anytime you bring up a mention of possibly trading Marcus Smart in a small deal for someone like Nerlens Noel or Willie Cauley-Stein or a younger big man that might be able to shore up our rebounding and rim protection, they go insane. How could you dare mention Marcus Smart? He's the future of the NBA. But if you look at his game, and tonight was one of those games, he shot 1-for-3 tonight from three-point land, which isn't terrible. It's 33%. But it seems that the fewer three-point shots that he takes, the better his percentage. But going over the past five games, he shot 1-for-3 tonight. The game before that, 0-for-3. The game before that, 0-for-4. The game before that, 3-for-6, and the game before that, 0-for-5. That's the past five games. He went 4-for-15. That's not a good shooting percentage for anybody that you expect, you know, to take that many shots or to have as big a role as Marcus Smart has in this rotation. He played more than 30 minutes. I think he played 33 minutes tonight, and he's just not getting it done from the perimeter, and I think he needs to take a key from Evan Turner and realize he just can't shoot those threes. He can do everything else fairly well. He can rebound. He can pass. He's that facilitator on the second unit. He's an excellent defender. His intangibles are off the charts, and I think that's what people really like about him. But watching him shoot threes and keep missing threes, and I think you mentioned something about a very ill-advised three in the fourth quarter. There are just some of those shots that he just doesn't need to take.
That three, they had just gotten a nice defensive stop, and they grabbed the rebound, and the outlet was to him, and he pulled up probably 6 feet behind the three-point line and just jacked a terrible three. And it was right as he was starting to sort of get into it with Wayne Ellington. For whatever reason, Marcus Smart was talking at Wayne Ellington tonight, who every time they showed Wayne Ellington, he was just straight face. He wasn't saying a word. So either Ellington was not talking when the cameras were on him and he was talking out when they didn't pick him up, or Marcus Smart was just talking the whole time and just blabbing to Wayne Ellington. And he took that ill-advised shot, and then Ellington went down and scored on the other end. And Ellington only had 9 points, but it's like, Marcus, on the broadcast I was watching, you could see Brad Stevens when Smart got the technical. He said, "Marcus, it's not worth it." You could see him mouth those words. It's not worth it. Why? What are you doing? Why are you even pushing back? Things like that. It's like, guy, get mature fast. You're in the NBA. You're costing your team points. You're getting paid millions of dollars to do this, and you're a talented player. Get your head on straight and take shots within the offense. Don't get in a head game battle with the other guy if you can't handle it, and just play the game. Play basketball. There were multiple times tonight where he took charges like a legitimate player does and not flopping all around. And I felt good about that. Like you said, the intangibles are really high with this kid. I just wish that he was a little more consistent as far as the thinking game is concerned, because there are a lot of things that go wrong for him because he just seems to be reckless.
Definitely, and I think that when we host the show, and we're obviously not the only hosts that do the post-game show, but it seems that when we do the show, the same issue gets brought up, and it seems to be, you know, a recurring issue. And I think it's safe to say that if we're discussing it, you know, every time that we're together hosting the show, that it's something that, you know, is actually out there. We're not imagining it. We're not hallucinating. It's something that needs to be worked on with Marcus Smart. I think his game could be so much better with not just the improved shot selection that we mentioned, but also the increased maturity, the improved maturity that you just mentioned just now.
Nick, you know what the scary part is? Here's a free plug for basketball-reference.com. Anybody that is a basketball fan should go check this out because
love
the stats
it.
That
Fantastic
they have
site.
There are just excellent. So there you go, basketball-reference.com, free plug. Marcus Smart's shooting percentage from three is actually higher than it was last year, which was extremely low, 25%. He's taking more three-pointers per game, and his free throw percentage has plummeted. The thing that's really alarming to me, though, is that he's back to his two-point percentage of 41%, which is what he did in his rookie season, when I think he's taking terrible shots, absolutely horrible shots. So while he's taking more shots in general, the selection still isn't great from two. And I think the fact that his three-point percentage is a little higher than it was last year, it's just going to encourage him to take even more threes instead of going to the basket and using his strong body. Tommy Heinsohn is screaming into the microphone about for this guy to take it to the hoop every single night. And I don't know how he just doesn't get that by osmosis because, dude, this he's built differently. All the announcers say it. Scal says it all the time, too. He's just a bull. He's strong. He can push guys around. He just needs to learn how to control his emotions so he's not flying off the handle when he tries to get into a physical game with people, and he'll succeed.
Definitely. It seems those emotions work both ways, not just when he's flying off the handle and getting into altercations with opposing players, but also when he seems to be feeling himself and hitting those because he thinks that his three-point shot seems to have improved from the season before, that's a reason to then chuck up more of those threes, even though, like I said, you look at the previous five games, he had two of those games where he hit a couple of three-pointers, and then three of those games where he hit zero three-pointers, and he did, and it's not for lack of attempts, because he had more than, I think, three attempts in every single one of those games. And it seems that those stats, he basically goes, every other night he hits a three-pointer. You know what I mean? Like, one night he'll go 0 for 5, 0 for 3, and the other night he'll go maybe, you know, 1 for 3 or 2 for 5 or something like that. So he needs to figure out, he needs to put that intensity that he has on both ends of the court, both offensively and defensively, and focus it, you know what I'm saying, where it needs to be. And where it needs to be is not getting into it with lesser players like whatever, like Wellington or wherever this clown is, and not focus it on taking ill-advised three-pointers in the fourth quarter when we're trying to put the game away and start a post-game show and not wait for, you know, Eric Spoelstra to call timeouts and foul Hacker Smart and extend the game.
Right, and if he would have just made two or three of those free throws that he missed, then everything would have been fine and it would have gotten out of hand, and then Spoelstra would have called off the dogs because he wouldn't have had MacGruber over there, MacGruder, whatever his name is. If you've ever seen that Saturday Night Live skit, MacGruber, you know what I'm talking about. trying to get in Marcus Smart's face and then trying to get in Isaiah Thomas's face. You see, they were doubling Isaiah Thomas off the inbounds pass every single time at the end of the game. MacGruber is like jawing at him. That's why it was getting so chippy. It all started with Marcus Smart probably digging into them and getting them a little riled up. But I just feel like sometimes he doesn't go about it in the right way. So when he can figure that out, he's going to be a heck of a player as far as a role player in the NBA is concerned, because I don't think guys want to be matched up against him night in, night out. So let's see where that goes going forward. But the good news is the Celtics did win this game, 112-104 down in Miami. And that's going to do it for us tonight. So I thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show and the criticism that we gave, warranted or unwarranted. This show will be available for on-demand listening if you want it again by searching for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app, which is free, so go get it. Follow CLNS Radio on social media if you're on Twitter at CLNS Radio, and if you're on Facebook, go like us at facebook.com/CLNSFans. Of course, ESPNRadioNH.com is where you'll find ESPN Radio New Hampshire, and they are at ESPNNH on Twitter. Go to /ESPN New Hampshire on Facebook to check them out as well. Today's show was brought to you by Blue Apron some delicious food coming your way. If you go to blueapron.com/CLNS, you get 3 free meals and free shipping. Of course, our friends sponsoring our call lines at Movement Watches, that's mvmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat for 15% off your first purchase with free shipping as well. And Audible is our favorite place for audiobooks. Go to audiblepodcast.com/try now for a free 30-day trial of whatever audiobook you want. Our music was provided by Joshua Morse, and we want to thank Miley for calling in and everybody else who's listening out there. We really appreciate it. For CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, Program Director Justin Poulin, the founder of the network, Nick Gelso, I saw him last week. For my co-host, Nick Sicento, down there in Florida, hang in there, kid, with all those Heat fans that are probably mucking it up tonight up in Tampa, I know. My name is Matt Rury. We'll see everybody back here on Wednesday night when the Celtics take on Andre Drummond and the Detroit Pistons. Thank you all for listening. Have a good night, everyone. Later, Nick.